Reggie, we're talking about this move from church focus to a kingdom focus, from the church being destination to life being the goal. But how do we make that? A lot of our churches are really stuck in one mentality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there are three things. Nothing short of a culture shift can pull this off. I can tell you this is not the fall program I'm talking about. It's not a six-week sermon series.
Yeah, there's no silver bullet.
No, we don't talk people into this.
Yeah.
This is an entire culture shift. Well, to shift a culture, you have to do three things. And you don't get a pass on, you know, two out of three. Yep, all three of these are critical. You have to change the story, meaning you have to change the narrative. Why do we think we're here? I mean, this is the big why question and how we express our mission and everything else. If we think we're here because building a great church is God's dream for us, we don't get it. If we see ourselves as partners with God in his redemptive mission in the world, then we get it. And that's a different story. That means that every time we come together, we're not just talking about what's happening here. We're not just affirming the gifts that it takes to pull off a church service. We're affirming people's work in the world. So change the story. Secondly, we have to change the scorecard. Now, I can tell you, a lot of people don't like that word scorecard because for them it conjures up, I guess, competition or something. Well, then don't use it. But the scorecard, what I mean is what it is that we celebrate. Because that's, you know, in family systems, church system, in a culture, what you celebrate is what gets done. Because that's where our energy goes to. And it's the tail that wags the whole dog. And the church scorecard, so far, in a church-centric world, celebrates church activity on church property, led by church people, consumed by church people, by and large. And so you get this really skewed, you know, deal, as if the kingdom somehow, I mean, there's no necessary correlation between how busy a church is with all that stuff and its impact, its kingdom impact. In fact, it can be just the opposite.
Well, and budget.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Budget.
Yeah, we measure, you know, the old, you know, butts, budgets, and baptisms, you know, or whatever. Well, all of those are, I'm not going to suggest that we quit measuring those or quit taking, I mean, you're still going to count the money that comes in and count how many folks show up. But what we celebrate has to be really, we have to re-metric our celebrations to take into account the kingdom impact we're trying to have in our communities. Now, that's hard. Maybe the hardest shift of the three. But if you don't figure that out, then you're not going to have metrics that support the story you're changing. Mm-hmm. And the old scorecard will beat you to death. Pastors are caught in this all over America right now. People are saying, look, our numbers are falling. I mean, that old scorecard, I remember I told a group of pastors not too long ago, my first word is, it's not your fault. You know, and I was just talking about how the culture has changed. People's attendance patterns. In fact, if you're not reaching 20% more in your network than you were 5 years ago, I mean, it takes, you've had to add 20% more people into your mix just to keep the water level even on any given Sunday, because even church people's patterns, you know, have changed in attendance. So, I mean, but that old scorecard is such an unforgiving taskmaster. It's like more, so you're feeling the lash of the slave driver, you know, the more brick, less straw. Yeah. And I mean, that's not a pleasant place to be, and pastors all over the, that's why it's critical to change the story and the scorecard to be in line, because that other thing is a demonic piece. It's just killing you. But if you can celebrate along with, you know, those typical numbers or whatever, but, you know, we'll unpack this a little more in a minute. But, you know, I know churches that are adding to their a scorecard, the number of community service hours their folks are spending in loving their neighbor. You see, what that means is we're trying to live out loving your neighbor, or how many spiritual conversations we're having. You know, these are all ways that you can celebrate kingdom kinds of impacts, or the number of kids that can read because our church is involved, or the less number of kids who are hungry because our church is involved in backpack program for over the weekend, or this can go on and on and on. Then we have to change, the third shift is we have to change our sense of stewardship. And if, meaning, what do we think we're responsible for? Well, in the old church-centric deal, we were responsible for what happened on our property and our buildings and all that kind of, with our staff, and we bought a pastor and we rented a youth director, and by golly, they better show up with some great programs and the numbers better. Instead of a sense of stewardship that the community is our responsibility. I mean, I've told you before in earlier conversations, I think the church abandoned the culture a long time before the culture abandoned the church. I mean, go back 100 years. The church was building hospitals and, you know, nursing homes and orphanages. And, you know, we actually thought we were responsible for the quality of life that people had. Education, schools, health, across the board.
Colleges,
but what we pulled in and said, no, what we'll do is we'll build great churches, you know, towers. You know, and that'll take care of everything else. Well, duh. And so our sense of stewardship has to move out. Now, when I say this, I will have folks say, well, we can't be responsible for everything. Look at the crime and all that. I said, no, but you can decide that your job is to try to lift as many people possible. Because if the kingdom is about life as God intends across the board, then it's okay. Even though you may not wipe out sex trafficking, you probably won't, but you can help the human condition there. Mm-hmm. You probably won't wipe out illiteracy or poverty or anything, but by golly, I mean, Jesus didn't heal everybody. But it mattered for that one blind person. I mean, that's the kingdom mentality. And that brings life, by the way. And I don't know a single pastor, I'll tell you this, Jordan. I deal with burning out and burned out pastors all the time. Church leaders. Let's just call them church. Not just pastors. Staff leaders. Even lay leaders that have responsibility for. And everyone that is consumed with trying to prop up the church, I mean, they're just candidates for burnout. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, taking a spoonful of sand out of the Sahara, you know? I mean, it's just a you're not going to get it done like that, or draining the ocean, you know, dry. Every pastor and church leader I'm in touch with that's involved in a kingdom ministry, they are energized by that. Yeah, they get tired because, you know, you can get into compassion fatigue, but they can recharge their batteries. You get in burnout, there's no recharge. I mean, you know, unless you change your focus. The same thing's just going to eat your lunch the minute you go back in. So I'm telling you, it's life-giving when we're involved in a life mission. You know, and that itself should tell us everything we need to know. What is so wrong with a system that burns up its leaders? Don't you finally start asking the question, instead of what's wrong with all these leaders, don't you finally start asking the question, what's wrong with a system?
Yeah, it's chewing up.
Yeah, that you're having to throw more human fodder at, you know, just to try to keep it afloat. There's something, well, it's misaligned with the reason God created us. So we got to change the story, the scorecard, and our sense of stewardship. It's going to take all three to shift the church culture into a kingdom posture.